Hi, and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Saturday, July 20th, 2002. And Stacy Kitahata and Mary Pake and also Andrea Walker do the Bible study this morning. It's entitled Pentecost, A Miracle of Hearing. Now let's go to the fireside room for this morning's Bible study.
McCormick Theological Seminary, which is in Chicago, and it's a Presbyterian seminary, and a Presbyterian.
My name is Mary Pack, and I serve it.
Well, the real
thing. Oh, it's not. What's my line? No, it's not.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, so then my name is Mary Pack.
No, my name is Andrea Walker, and I'm the pastor. Stacy Kitahata. I serve Region 1 of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America as a congregational ministry coordinator in the areas of multicultural ministry, evangelism, witness, and service.
And now I'm confused. I'm Stacy Kitahata. I'm Andrea Walker.
You should swap and see if people notice.
I'm Andrea Walker, and I serve as pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in the Bronx, New York.
So, we'll begin with prayer this morning.
Let us pray.
Gracious and ever-loving God, pour out your Spirit upon us this morning so that we might hear and see and speak in new ways, a new language, a language of connection, a language of inclusion, a language of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. This morning's Bible study is on Acts chapter 2. Pentecost story, and if you're here for Vespers on Monday, you've experienced some of that in our worship together. The Bible study this morning will also be interactive, so you see photos here, and we'll do some different kinds of activities to delve into the text. So I invite us now to listen as it is being read, and just let the sound sort of settle in you, and think about what words or phrases might jump out at you and might be significant in this hearing today. What words or phrases?
I was wondering if maybe we could
do
introductions so that you met us. And then we'll read the Bible together. Come on in. So, would you like to start? Just introduce yourself and where you're from and how long you're going to be here.
Chris Gaston,
Chris,
Verona, Virginia. And we'll be here
until
next Thursday.
Great.
Dwayne Boschholtz, Vancouver, Washington, leaving today.
Oh, all right. On the second boat. On the second
First
bus.
First, we're going to Stehekin.
Oh, okay. Come on in, come into the front row, unless you can.
I need two spots.
Okay, that's great. We have two spots. So, Dwayne, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I'm Joanne Boschholtz, and we are doing the same thing together.
Okay, going to Stehekin.
Alfred Mendenhall from Vancouver, Washington, riding with them home today.
Ah, all right.
Carol Campbell, North Ogden, Utah, and we're leaving today.
Okay.
And Bob Campbell, North Ogden, also leaving today.
Wow.
That means you've got a long haul week.
Yeah, you drive and then back to Ogden? Is that what you
mean? Right. Spend somewhere tonight and then finish.
Somewhere?
Somewhere between here and Pendleton.
Okay.
We're staying in Chelan tonight and driving home tomorrow.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. That'll be more leisurely.
He's driving.
Okay, let's see. Bob, Carol,
Al.
Joanne, that's right. Dwayne, Chris,
Donna.
And where are you from?
Wyoming, Minnesota.
Uh huh.
And we're heading back home.
Here. Okay, so we got the going home today group, except for Chris.
I'm Patty.
Patty, great. Are you going home today?
I'm just going.
Okay, good, good. So come on in, sit in the front row. It's just really relaxed and, you know, wander around. Okay. That's the first upstairs.
I'm Steve. I'm here as staff for 3 weeks from Eugene, Oregon.
Okay.
And I'm up here writing a quick letter so it can go out by 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
Outside.
It's okay.
I wanted to listen in if that's okay.
That's good.
Sure. Thank you.
Hi, come on in. Welcome.
Thank you.
We just did some introductions, so if once you settle in, you can introduce yourselves, your name, where you're from, and how long you're going to be here.
Great. My name is Jim McKay. I'm from Apple Valley, Minnesota, and we're in the middle of our stay. We've been here a couple days. We'll stay a couple more days.
Great.
Are you by any chance from Shepherd of the Hills?
No, but we live right close to it.
And what's your name?
I'm Allie McKay.
Allie.
I'm also from Apple Valley, Minnesota, and I also live in a couple days.
Okay. Yeah. Do you guys know each other?
No. We're good buddies.
Okay, good. All right. So we, Mary had introduced the process for, we'll hear the Bible readings three times. And so each time we'll go a little deeper and a little deeper into what the meaning and the message of the passage is for us today.
I'll be speaking.
In the first listening, as you listen, listen to the words. You don't have to follow along in your Bible, but listen to the words for what stands out for you, a phrase or a word or an image. Okay?
Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'"
I invite you to share, as you heard this being read this morning, what words or phrases stood out for you? Anything you hear particularly stand out for you?
The very first phrase, when the day had come, the Pentecost. Okay. Why was it different than any other?
Yeah, good. What does this mean?
What does this mean?
What does this mean?
It's a Lutheran question.
Yes.
The next one, all together, that it was united.
Okay, good. Others, word, just, you don't have to give any commentary, just a word or phrase.
Well,
the rush of the wind coming in.
Mm-hmm. The sound. Just a sound.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
The word violent in front of wind.
That really struck me as hearing also.
Bewildered.
This version says lanky.
Bewildered. There's a big difference between mighty and violent, really.
Not much.
In all those different cultures were there together.
Uh-huh. Welcome. Thanks.
Hi.
You're not behind. hear the text a lot. How about in the back? Allie or? Anything that stood out for you?
Just all the names of the different places and cultures.
Joanne?
The tongues of fire. What that must have looked like.
As a fire. Didn't say it was fire.
Didn't burn anything up.
Didn't burn anything up.
Yeah. Okay.
Chris, do you have any reflections?
Amazed.
Amazed.
Yeah.
There was no discrimination. Sat on all of them. Every one of them.
Welcome.
They were bewildered at the speaking of tongues.
So we'll hear the text again. This time, now, as I suggested, you don't have to read along. Sometimes it's easier to hear if you're not trying to read along. So we'll have one person, read aloud and invite the rest of you to focus on listening. And in this hearing, ask yourselves, what is the message from this passage for the church today?
We left out one of the most important words in it. Filled with the Holy Spirit.
There you go, Al. Okay, what is the message for the church today as you're listening this time? And Dwayne, would you be willing to read this time? It's verses 1 through 12. Okay, so listen to the word again.
When the day of Pentecost came, all the believers were gathered together in one place. Suddenly there was a noise from the sky which sounded like a strong wind blowing, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they saw what looked like tongues of fire which spread out and touched each person there. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to talk in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were Jews living in Jerusalem, religious men who had come from every country in the world. When they heard this noise, a large crowd gathered. They were all excited because each one of them heard the believers talking in his own language. In amazement and wonder, they exclaimed, "These people who are talking like this are Galileans. How is it, then, that all of us hear them speaking in our own native languages? We are from Parthia, Media, and Elam, from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, from Pontus and Asia, from Phrygia and Pamphylia, from Egypt and the regions of Libya near Cyrene. Some of us are from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles converted to Judaism. And some of us are from Crete and Arabia. Yet all of us hear them speaking in our own languages about the great things that God has done. Amazed and confused, they kept asking each other, 'What does this mean?'"
Good question.
Mm-hmm. And together we will search for the answer. And so the question that we are asking you to ponder on is, what is the message for the church today? Rather than answering verbally, we invite you to walk around this fireplace and look at these images with that question in mind, what is the message for the church today from this text? Don't go yet. We invite you to walk around and make sure that you look at all of the images. Pick out maybe three or four that you think you might want to share, but don't pick it up yet because there's some other people who might want to pick the same image. And then we'll give you further instructions about how to go about getting it, and then we'll be discussing it in smaller groups. Okay, so I invite you to walk around.
Which way are you going?
Just don't run into each other. You can go each way.
Yeah, you can go either direction. And then once you've found three or four images that express the message that you heard for the church today, you can sit down and then we'll know when people are ready.
Persons, triad, and share your image with one another. So when I say now, then we invite you to come and...
Maybe they should arrange themselves first so okay. that they can, you know, if you move your chairs
into little groups of three.
And there's exactly four groups of three, so figure that out. It's pretty easy. So why don't you move your chairs into groups of three so you can all look at each other. Okay. And then we'll let Mary say now.
I want you to come and get your picture. And if somebody has already taken it, then you're going to have to go to your next picture. Mm-hmm. And so when you get into your groups of three, then hold it up so that everybody can see it. And then take about 3 minutes each to share your image with the other two in your group, answering the question, what is the message for the church today?
And how this image conveys that for you. Okay, is that clear?
So we should just take one?
Yes, mm-hmm. Right, take one. And if you want to integrate the stories of your images, then you could do that, of course. Tell them.
Okay, ready? Now. Wait. Yeah, long ways to go.
Yeah, you want to go all the way around the circle.
No.
Was this one?
No.
And go ahead and introduce yourself again in your group because you have a much better time having conversation with each other when you know each other's names. Everybody?
Somebody take yours out?
Yep.
You have a backup?
I have a backup one.
So 3 minutes each, and we'll call time. So let one speaking at a time, all right? And then the other two listening. All right. Are you drawing to a close of your second round of conversation? Did everybody have a chance to share? Okay.
Did you discover anything that was particularly sort of an aha thing for you?
From what your new friends
I'm sure
said?
We all did.
Yeah. Yeah. Why they picked the pictures they picked, they went, oh, yeah, I see that.
Why did you describe something that really struck you?
A lot of these pictures I couldn't relate to the question. You know, this was real clear to me, but it was not clear to them.
Uh-huh.
And
sorry,
then the fact that...
I
wasn't even sure that those were real. And then there's pictures, oh, that started to make sense to me too. And it's just a lot, you know, it just shows how you put all the heads together and get good ideas.
Go ahead.
So what is the message for the church today?
This
that the Holy Spirit is moving. Oh, sorry, I'm sorry.
That's okay. We'll hear from that group. We'll go to each group.
Yeah. Well, two of our three had together, and then I think his was kind of communicating to come together. So I think kind of we were in the together sort of.
Together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. You're raring to go. Dwayne, Al, Joanne. Now they're being shy.
Forget what I forgot. What I was
doing. Oh.
Three signs of old age. The main message to me is that the Holy Spirit enabled them to speak in foreign languages, which means that the Holy Spirit is not for the Christian white people alone, it's for all people mm-hmm. in the earth. And the message is that we try to take this to all the people in the world, which is getting to be a more impossible task than it was back then. Mm-hmm.
How about others in the group?
Well, and the Holy Spirit continues to work. It wasn't just that one time, but it continues daily, and just like the wind.
Show your picture.
And we're all like the newborn baby.
Oh, yeah, I overheard you saying that. Yeah, great.
Right. Thanks,
the wedding.
The wedding looks like it might be interracial.
Mm-hmm.
And mine was a communion of saints. Communion of all people.
I was worried about the church when he picked up the graveyard.
I was like, okay. That makes sense. That makes sense.
Other groups? Well, we sort of were frustrated over here. I think we had these two pictures and then a lot. We talked a lot about how, as a church, we can be inclusive with everybody, and how, even in I work with people in poor areas and Medicaid children and mothers, and you know, how can I, as a person, take the Holy Spirit, even though I can't speak it because of my job? You know, how do you learn that language? There's so many languages, even if it's English. You know, how do you learn to connect with people, and they, as Norwegian, well, they can tell it. Minnesota, how do you be inclusive? So we kind of came up with more questions.
After we saw, I had the two musicians and the guitar made out of wood, the stringed instrument, and the reed instrument out of metal, the saxophone.
Right.
Different parts of the orchestra, and yet they can come together.
Wow.
One sound, ideally, if they're in tune with one another. Mm-hmm. But how do you get to that point and not lock people out? And that's when we digressed to in Lutheran Minnesota, you know, that the roots of liturgy are so deep. How do you keep the padlock open to people that have never experienced liturgy or the church without frightening them all. That's where we wound up.
That's great. Any comments to add?
Well, I had the padlock. And I was just talking about not keeping people out, that we need to be all inclusive and, you know, we are one in the Lord. And, that's what I saw.
Okay. Callie, how about your group?
I should follow because I have keys.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And I was struck by this picture almost immediately because I thought, oh, there's just so many different keys. They're not all alike. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways that we can be or could be or I want us to be open to unlocking the one padlock or the key to the Holy Spirit or whatever, and I was just part of this for me too was I was so relieved yesterday to hear you, somebody say, and the three of you, that building community, building the church is about our relationship, because I was sitting there thinking, you know, there's lots of ways that the church has, our church has increased, you know, invited choirs in and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then, but mostly the way I've felt church has been, you know, when we now live in the inner city, and when somebody gets beat up, that you go out and you end up becoming friends, you know. And the relationship, the church for me doesn't just happen in the church. And so I was like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah. So I think there's just so That's many right. different ways of interpreting this. There's just so many different keys to the church.
Exactly. That's super.
Okay. I have a picture of the children. I wanted the railroad image, but I took the children. And I don't know, I guess it's sort of like an obvious parallel to the text here with all the children of different races and ethnic backgrounds. Sorry. I don't know, it's just people coming together and, like everyone else has been saying, not excluding anyone, and that's what it's all about.
That's the one I want.
He was fast.
Yeah.
Have anything to add?
I had chosen
the bridge.
And I really like this one because for me, the story was telling me that we do need to reach out to everybody to build bridges, both to be able to tell those people the message, but also let them bring it back to their families and their people and their churches to spread the message. So I thought the bridge was very meaningful in that regard. And just because I'm the last person to speak, I was very impressed with how it did. This passage did have different interpretations and different meanings for each person, because I thought this is the one everybody wanted.
Yeah, that's right. Everyone is flocked to that, right?
Well, that's the one I want.
Exactly. I can understand.
Well, isn't that one of the messages of the text as well? As the first group started out saying, I didn't know what they were talking about, and then when they spoke, I could hear from them how the vision of the church came through this image. And that's similar to the story, the passage that we heard. How is it that we can hear from one another's very, very different images and experiences a yearning and a dream for the church, the same yearning and dream, and the yearning and dream that God has?
Would the three of you share your pictures?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Mine's the, I've been so impressed by Joe Arnett.
He's the botanist who's been here.
That this is the symbiosis picture.
He's doing a session on that at 10:45.
It's a tree with different branches, sort of, so rooted in Christ and branching out. Yet there are other creatures, other plants, other life things that depend on one another. Each has a relationship to the other in their life. So that's my picture, that you're all dependent on one another.
Different related. So I have this picture of the kids on the playground with doing cartwheels and playing together, and what I heard the message for the church is to throw ourselves with abandon into the Spirit's leading, and let our bodies be used for God and to celebrate and lift up God's power. Not everyone is upside down. There's some people whose feet are still in the ground, so it doesn't mean everybody needs to be flying through the air, but that we're invited to be that free in the Holy Spirit to do this new thing that the church is called to be in this day.
And I have this picture, which is a representation of my learning a new language, so to speak, or hearing a new language. And for me, it's not just about hearing in our own languages, but being able to hear the other languages that help us be able to be together and move together and be the church.
The message of this text is, as Al, you were saying, it's a miracle of speaking, but even more so, and perhaps even more so for our day, it's a miracle of hearing. So when you look at the passage, you can see that as many times as it talks about, as it, people speaking, it presents people hearing. So it says, at this sound, so it's a sound that they hear of the Holy Spirit, as well as a sound that they hear of one another. Each one, verse 6, heard them speaking in the native language of each. So it's a heard them speaking. So it's both speaking and listening. And that was their question. They were astonished. How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own language, and then all the different peoples and lands? What does this mean? Sometimes we are, when you look at, what's the question in verse 7? Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? So what do you know about Galilee? Who are these guys who are following Jesus around, who came from Galilee?
The disciples.
The disciples. What kind of a first career did they have?
Fishermen,
right. And they're in the big city, the biggest city, right? The metropolis, the cosmopolitan place. This is not your usual hangout for Galilean fishermen. If fishermen showed up in, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, they might not be as fitting in with the urban, more urban culture that's there. So what the folks, the people of Jerusalem are saying, aren't these just laboring fisher guys with calloused hands and smelly clothes and who know how to work with their hands and their body? But what do they know? How is it that we can hear them speaking God's words of power? And we can ask, how is it that these guys from Galilee, who aren't so educated, who know all about fish and nets and boats and waves and water, but aren't taught to be articulate or educated or to stand up in public and give a presentation, how is it that they have found a voice to speak in ways that such an amazing and diverse group of people can hear? So it's not just that it's only speaking or only hearing, but those who had no voice in the contemporary urban setting find a voice, and those who are accustomed to being the leaders and the merchants and the travelers, they were all from somewhere else. You know, they were all the frequent flyers and the executives who had their, you know, mileage plus gold cards. They received a miracle of hearing. So for us in the church, the message to us as a church is, how do we discern the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit to, in the appropriate times, be empowered to speak, and in the other appropriate times, be empowered to listen and to hear deeply, to receive from others in their own language a message of God's deeds of power, and at other times, out of our humbleness, to speak a message of God's deeds of power by the Holy Spirit.
Any comments about that? And think about your own situation. When is it that you need to hear? What is it that you need the miracle of hearing? And in that, who are the voices? What are the voices that are missing in your community? The voices that are silenced. And the flip side is, when are the times that you need to speak up? And what are the times when you need the miracle of speech to be able to speak God's power and God's mighty acts? So think about those two different times. When do you need to hear? When do you need to speak?
To hear, I would say, was very important when one is conversing with somebody in need, and that person needs to be understood, empathized with, so that one can go from there. After hearing, one needs to speak. You let us hear each other, and then you needed to speak. And so it goes, I think, in most relationships, there's a time when we need to know what the other person is thinking, and then there is a responding to that with our own thinking.
So we'll hear the text one more time and invite you, as you listen to the Word of God, the living Word, ask yourself those two questions. When am I invited to speak? And when am I invited to listen? And think about specific relationships that you had, because as you point out, it's relationships that are key. It's developing personal, interpersonal relationships and relationships of your community with people in the community and with other communities. It's about deepening those relationships. That's the action that God calls us to, that the Holy Spirit empowers us to. But what are they specifically for you? So as you hear the text again, ask God, what is it you're saying to me about when I need to speak and when I need to listen?
When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?'"
So now we invite you in your little group of three to turn to each other, and we'll give you just a minute and a half or so apiece, since you were so speedy last time, and to say, what is it specifically that God is inviting you to listen? In what situations might you imagine that God is inviting you to listen, and which situations and in what relationships is God inviting you to be empowered to speak? So we'll give you a few minutes for that, and then we'll come back for our final exercise. Okay?
Say something to her.
All right. as we have a chance together to close our time with some prayerful reflections, do you all have a writing implement? Okay, Andre, could you run upstairs and get in the little closet behind the scratch paper? There is a, you get a box of pencils. Anybody have two writing implements that you could share with somebody who has none? And then how about,
I have two.
Okay. Would you be willing to share it with somebody? Now, who needs one? Raise your hand.
Here, dear.
Oh, here, dear. Yeah, there you go. Here, dear. Now, don't worry. It's not a quiz or anything hard like that. Right? And one? You need two? Okay. Two in the back.
This will be the written word.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is one of those opportunities to speak.
Right?
And oh, they have. You're what a set little group. Okay, and then does everyone have a piece of paper?
Nope.
A little scrap, a little anything.
I've got enough for everybody. Oh,
don't worry. Oh, here she comes. She's got paper too, so you don't have to tear up your whole pad. And pencils if you want to use a pencil instead of a pen. It's not a big assignment. But this is we did the fishes and the loaves, and somehow everyone got a fish. And we have lots of loaves to spare. So for this next exercise, this is our time of prayer together. And as you express this prayer, we're inviting you to a deeper reflection. And so in silence, I'll give you some instructions, so I won't do that in silence. And then as you receive them in silence, please jot down the first things that come to your mind related to the instructions that I give. So this will be our closing, and I'll invite you to share if you're comfortable with that at the end. The first, we'll write a little poem together. Four simple lines. The only things that you need to know are, well, how to write in whatever language you choose. A noun is a person, place, or thing, right? A verb is an action word. And an adjective is descriptive. That's all you need to know, all right? So, let's have a moment of quiet, and I'll give you your first invitation. With all that we have heard today in this reflection on God's living word, from the account of the Holy Spirit coming upon the first disciples, hearing from one another how God, the Holy Spirit, is calling out to the church and to you as a part of that church. In this prayer, this poem, write down a noun, a person, place, or thing that comes to you as a message from God or an expression that you want to make to God about God's Spirit coming upon you. Okay. A noun. One noun. Whatever noun comes to you off the top of your head. For the next line, write two adjectives. Those are words like colors or directions or descriptive words like sprightly or chubby or hot. Two adjectives. Thank you. in the third line, write three verbs, action words. In the fourth line, write a noun. Keep person, place, or thing.
The fourth line is what?
A noun. Song of praise and thanksgiving, our response to the living word. Would anyone like to share what they have? Yes, Joanne.
And just read it as
it is.
God, mighty, amazing, comes, calls nations.
Yes, Al.
Spirit, holy, gracious, make, dwell, and encourage church.
Seafarers, needy, tired, help, seek, aid, family.
Family. Energy, gentle, spirited, flowing. Runs, moves, is a river.
Wind, cold, refreshing, awake, stir, fly, home.
Community, joyfully, willingly, laughing, sharing, giving, love.
In all things may God be praised. We lift up all these prayers in the name of Jesus. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you all.
Question.
Yes.
Was there one photographer who was responsible for all these pictures, and in what context, if so?
Yes. His name is Eric Law.
Oh.
And I think at the end of all of these books, or any of these books, it's called Photo Language. And he had thousands of photos, and he tested these photos with different groups over several years, and then selected these as sort of a package, and you can get them from him. He sells them.